From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs.
The Warehouse District near the Peoria Riverfront is seeing new streetscapes and some additional business development. The reconstruction of Washington Street is also supposed to be complete by the end of the month. Peoria Public Works City Engineer Scott Reese and Assistant City Manager Chris Setti have had significant involvement in both aspects of the Warehouse District redevelopment. They are our guest for this Outside the Horseshoe. Mr. Setti, Mr. Reese, thank you for joining us on Outside the Horseshoe.
Thank you.
As it relates to the Warehouse District, Washington Street, a good portion of it that's being reworked is open already, with the expectation that more of it is supposed to be open by the end of the month. Scott, talk to us a little bit about where that project stands right now.
Yeah, we think we're on track to get the majority of it completed by July 31st here next week. There's an opportunity, it might be one lane, but there will be some form of openness, and then the rest of it completed early in August. And that's the road work itself. And then we still have sidewalk work to complete, but traffic will be reopened back on Washington Street.
Does that make the stretch from Main to Maple open?
Yes.
Yes.
July 31st, that will be open. It might be open in one lane for one direction for a couple days just to do a few utility adjustments.
All right.
And it's actually, most of it's in currently, curing things out right now.
Most business owners in that area would call that a victory, I presume.
Business owners have been great down there. It's been a long year and a half to have a road closed like that. But they worked with us through the project in order to get it done in that short of a time frame.
Along with that, Mr. Setti, you're joining us today to talk a little bit about the Warehouse District as this project, particularly the Washington Street part of the Warehouse redevelopment, is coming to a finished point. Talk about some of the things that you're seeing change.
Unfortunately, nothing I can announce. But I think
you're not going to make any news on this program?
I'm not going to make any news on this program, unfortunately. What's been encouraging is really ever since the street began to be improved, the beginning of last summer, we saw the interest level kick up in the Warehouse District. I think people believed us when we said that this was important and that the city was going to be improving the pedestrian infrastructure and the vehicular infrastructure in the area and making the public areas match what we will hope the private areas will become, which is vibrant. And Scott and the engineers and, you know, the folks that have done the work there have done a really great job with the help of the business owners putting up with it. You know, now our hope is that we see these buildings develop. So, you know, we had an early success with Sugar, and they continue to do great. You know, they opened in the fall, and restaurants don't usually like to open in the fall, in the middle of a construction zone, at the onset of the most brutal winter since the dawn of time, from what everybody can say, and they've still been successful. Kind of helped prove that when you offer something that is unique and local, that people will go to it. I think Travis just announced the other day through the Journal Star that they're going to open a new restaurant in the Seal Test building. That's a really key building in the 700 block of Southwest Washington, a project obviously made viable by Pat Sullivan and the work that he's done there, but also tremendously helped by the fact that we're improving the street out in front of it. It's exactly what we want the Warehouse District to be, is a combination of offices or businesses, retail opportunities, and residential opportunities. So what Pat's got planned for the Seal Test building is, you know, residential condominiums. There's already offices there. That building's actually about a third occupied with Comcast, and there's a pharmacy and iWork. And so to finish off the rest of that building, you know, adding a banquet center and a restaurant is really just great news for us. And we just hope that the momentum continues as we move down the street.
And Rodell's is moving from one spot in the Warehouse District to another, which is going to implement some additional life street side in the Murray Building.
Correct. And we love that we were able to keep Rodell's in Peoria and in the Warehouse District. That's super important, as he was looking to expand his operations. What's really important is, you know, Washington Street has been a big investment on the part of the community and Adams and Jefferson and the other streets. Water Street has been an investment from previous years. And it is a really vibrant pedestrian corridor between downtown, you know, so the Spirit of Peoria, the Gateway Building, all the way down to Le Vucre, Kelleher's and Rizzi's and the Creek Restaurant. But one of the kind of the missing pieces of that was that 500 block of Water Street, where the Murray Building, which has activity in it, doesn't have any pedestrian frontage really to it. So moving Rodell's into that building, activating the corner that they're picking, it gives you something to walk past, because there's nothing that kills a pedestrian experience more than a blank wall and an empty parking lot.
Rodell's is supposed to move and be open by February of next year. You can kind of see that on the timeline coming. And
definitely.
And then there are a variety of other businesses in the warehouse district that might not be quite so street front that still mean raising the property tax base and bringing some more vibrancy with foot traffic.
As Scott indicated earlier, the businesses have put up with a lot. And there are businesses like Diamond Vogel Paint and Bourne Paint Company, Builder's Warehouse. Those are retail operations that are already in the warehouse district, and they have been impacted. We've tried to make every accommodation possible. They've been great to work with in understanding the bigger vision, that they might have some short-term sacrifices, but that in the long run, they're better off because there'll be more people coming by their businesses. So it's been a really great partnership between the city and these businesses.
Help us understand, when you're trying to make some redevelopment in an historic area in particular, reworking roads and utilities and then the public areas, is that the first way to go?
And you see it across cities all over the United States. For 50 years, traditional engineering has been to widen out streets and make them very car-centric so they forget about the actual pedestrians. And what we're looking for, especially in our urban core or our downtown areas, is to make them more pedestrian-friendly. So in order to do that, you are reworking the streets to narrow things up and to add amenities like street furniture, places for people to sit, tree canopy. Eventually, it'll offer a shade. It makes it a more inviting and softens the look of the entire place.
You're going to pretty it up a little bit.
Yeah.
For retail to grow in an area, people need to be able to see what they're going to. And when you build a street that even if it's signed for 30 miles an hour, but you make it so that it's comfortable to drive 45 or 50, people won't ever see the Starbucks or the 30-30 coffee or the restaurant. And by slowing traffic down, you do a couple of things. One, you bring the drivers to be aware of their surroundings more, because there's more in the way. So there's more for a driver to consider. That there might be pedestrians. There might be a car parked that might be pulling out of its parking lot or opening its door. They're all visual cues for the driver. And when everything slows down, then people are willing to walk. So you will see people at Going to Sugar who park two or three blocks away, because we've made the walk more comfortable for people. And so that's all part of that. And then you hope that now the development follows behind. A lot of times that they happen in concert. We've been lucky in that we've been able to get state, federal, and local funds in a time when the economy has not been great. So we've been able to work on the streets while the economy sourced itself out on the lending side, you know, so that we're in line now. And like I said, we've had some significant interest in the warehouse district and in some of the larger buildings, and then also some of the smaller buildings in redevelopment.
How long has the warehouse district been on the city's radar for redevelopment?
2003.
It's been years now.
It was part of the Duane plan, the Heart of Peoria plan, that from the early 2000s. Yep. It may have been on the city's radar before that. That's when I started. that's when I moved to the city, at least, was in 2003. And so I think that as this wave nationally, a return to urbanism, we call it new urbanism, you call it whatever you want, but that cities are rediscovering themselves and their urban cores, it has been a part of Peoria's future. The Warehouse District TIF, which was kind of our first real effort at codifying this idea, was late 2007. But as I've always pointed out, 2008 was really a terrible time in America to launch a redevelopment strategy or redevelopment plan, because from 2008 to 2012, we were in some of the worst, you know, recessionary times we've had. And even to this day, the risk profiles of banks, and it's still kind of pulling itself out of that recession.
What's next for the Warehouse District?
Well, first, maybe Scott could finish this. Not just Washington Street. We're working on the others, so it's all part of one big puzzle.
We have Adams and Jefferson we're both working on. Those aren't scheduled to be complete until the spring of 2015, so next year, before we're done with those. And then all the perpendicular to the river streets, so Oak, Maple, Elm, Walnut, are all being reconstructed as part of the Tiger II project, which is separate from the Washington Street project. But by the time we're all done, they will all look very similar. They all have the same sort of treatments. They all have pedestrian scale lighting, which is a new added feature in that section of town.
And so from the development standpoint, we're trying to match up interest with opportunity. So we have from local folks who are interested in either property they own. So Pat Sullivan would be a perfect example of a guy who has a vision, who has the property. He already owns it and is executing on that vision. To folks from the region, from a national audience who has expressed interest in the Warehouse District, and we're just trying to match them up with the appropriate properties. In the Warehouse District, you really get one thing or the other. You get a really big building along Washington Street and a little bit along Adams Street where you have these 7- and 8-story buildings that really require a very sophisticated developer who can understand all of the financing that goes into and all of the work that goes into redeveloping a warehouse into, you know, a loft condominium or loft apartment style building. But then you have much smaller projects like 826 Southwest Adams, where Sugar is, or 820, where Dennis Lape had done work before. Some of these smaller buildings that might be more appropriate for somebody with who doesn't have that deep experience of working with banks and layered financing, but just wants to take on a project. So you really have a great mix of opportunities that doesn't require you to find some national master developer who will come in and do it all. There's a good mix of opportunities there. I think the redevelopment of the Murray Building is certainly very important and a real key. We have some other stuff. I would call it tire kicking, except it might be an insult because it's a much higher level of people who are negotiating with property owners, getting property under contract, with purchase options, in doing their due diligence, their homework, working with their lenders to see things happening.
Generally speaking, all of that remains fairly quiet.
Yes.
In business. People can be fairly confident that progress is being made on the Warehouse District, and if you are somebody who doesn't live any place near downtown, near the Warehouse District, it might be fun to get in your car and just go drive it here in the next couple of weeks.
The Warehouse District?
Yes.
Definitely. I mean, we have the new roundabout at Harrison and Washington. You can see the new streetscape on Washington all the way from Liberty to Walnut currently, and that will continue on down to Maple Street.
Excellent. Thank you. Let's talk now about the Main and University intersection and the neighborhoods surrounding it. There was a community meeting a week ago, roughly. Where does the Public Works Department stand?
Part of the entire intersection improvement was neighborhood traffic calming. From the very first meeting that we had, or from the time that the water main broke in the intersection of Main and University, the plan was to not only do something with that intersection, but also address longstanding issues in the neighborhoods. It was an opportunity to have funding available. Since I've been here 10 years, Uplands has had problems with cut through that entire time. Same with all the surrounding neighborhoods. University East Neighborhood Association had the diverters in there for a long time, and they had been hit a number of times and were in disrepair. So this was also an opportunity to do something different or brighten those up also. Our focus for so long had been just on the intersection and getting it completed before Sterling got under construction. Now we're taking the time to go back and address a number of the neighborhood concerns.
How soon might the city hope to bring some sort of list of suggestions?
We have a number of them that we've already done as far as pedestrian crossings, and you'll see those if you go through. There's one on Moss. There's a couple of them in the Uplands. There's one on each of the 6 streets through in between Russell and Columbia Terrace. And those are speed humps, but they're pedestrian tables, so that it's an area where a pedestrian can cross the street, but a car has to slow down to go over it. And those have all been installed. Now we're looking more even finer tuning what we're doing. And I would hope within the next month, we have a number of those issues figured out or solved. And a lot of that is signage. The thing we noticed with having neighborhood association meetings is a lot of the restricted movements that have been in place, signs were covered up by trees. So it was a matter of trimming trees and freshening up signs just so people could see. You can't turn right on red on Columbia Terrace. You haven't been able to for a long time. But it's that trying to change behavior so that people respect the neighborhoods surrounding the intersection. People want people to drive slow in their neighborhood to respect the safety of the children there.
One of the things that Councilman Graeb asked for coming out of that community meeting was more police presence, to help people be aware that they needed to slow down in that area for the time being. At least on Main Street, that seems to be going on right now, correct?
The city manager has asked the police chief to look at all the appropriate ways. You know, traffic enforcement's an issue across the city, not just for the West Bluff, but it is very important, especially given some of the issues we have with cut-through, to make sure that the folks that are using these streets are doing so appropriately. And so it's about resource allocation, but they are trying. I know that a speed board's been one of the temporary speed boards that have been put up on Columbia Terrace is kind of a visual indicator to people as to how fast they may be going. And so, you know, the streets are for everyone, and we've made that clear, that it's not about cut-through traffic as much as it is about appropriate driving, that you're paying attention to the traffic signals like stop signs and yield and, you know, pedestrian, you know, crosswalks and things like that. So that's what's really important, and we will continue to enforce the traffic laws when we see problems pop up. The biggest problem in the uplands is people rolling through stop signs.
Scott Reese with the city's Public Works Department, Chris Setti, Assistant City Manager. Thank you both for taking the time to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Outside the Horseshoe on 89.9 WCBU, Peoria Public Radio. I'm Tanya Kuntz.